back, friends. We left off with guardian angels, and I think it's apropos that we pick up with Therese, who had a lively love for her angel. She was born January 2nd of 1873, and she died 24 years later on October the 1st, and that is her feast day. She had a childhood of considerable suffering. She lost her mother to breast cancer at the age of 4. And then she had older sisters who would take that role as mother to her. And as her sisters became of age to enter, they discerned a call to religious life in the Carmel, they would leave. And for her, it would be yet another separation of a mother figure in her life. So she had a terrible interior woundedness of a nervousness and prone to emotional fragility. And I use the term that I'm going to draw a bit on Father Philippe's work here, but there's also the Institute of Carmelite Studies. They have good reference books as well, but mostly from him. At the age of 14, she received, as she will think of it, as a miraculous healing from our Lord of her emotional fragility. And at the age of 15, which is younger than at that time, and it still is younger to be permitted enter into Carmel, okay, she does enter in. And within 9 years, she will die of tuberculosis. In the judgment of the church, someone who is a doctor, for a person who's a saint for us, we have our life, and then we have the rendering of the church on sanctity, and there's a saint, but then the additional designation of doctor, that will be kind of the third point. So the life, what did she have, heroic virtue, and then to be doctor is to have a body of written work that transcends the time in which that individual lived. Because oftentimes, a saint is for a particular time. And so we hear, did they get rid of saints? No, it's just that some saints for a certain time and a certain place and certain people, certain understandings, and that person is appropriate for that. But a doctor is universal over time and not space, but over time. And she was proclaimed a doctor by John Paul II. Mm-hmm. Therese has become a primary, and so this is in the words of John Paul, Therese has become a primary reference for understanding and practicing the gospel message today. She can help us rediscover the heart of the gospel, the tenderness of God the Father, and the way of spiritual childhood. And I think it's interesting to note she was a contemporary of Friedrich Nietzsche, yeah, an ardent atheist.
It's true. And I think that her name, you know, her full name, which is not often known, is also very telling about, because the names are bestowed by the order, right? The name is given after prayers and discernment. And Saint Therese was given the name, she has a unique name, I think, because many people, you know, I mean, maybe your name's Sister Thomasina or, you know, something, but she was called Saint Therese of the Infant Jesus and of the Holy Face, which is such a profound name. When you think about her little way, right, that even when she arrived in the Carmel, I mean, obviously she arrived as a child, right? I mean, so to the sisters who were there, and she arrived in the Carmel of her sisters who knew her and loved her, right? I mean, her mother in the Carmel, right, was her oldest, one of her older sisters. I forget which one it was, but so they knew her, right? And, but the thing that I think is so profound today is that that impishness, that childish delight, and the fact that her face must have truly, even in life, truly radiated the joy of God. And our Lord loved her with such delight that even today her face is not permitted to be covered. Right? She is incorrupt. She is one of the incorruptible saints. And you can look upon Saint Therese's face even to this day, because it's she is a mirror of the Holy Face.
That's right.
Right. That peace, that serenity, that joy, it's radiant. I mean, she and Saint Bernadette and Saint Catherine Laboure, what a particular trio. I mean, Saint Catherine Laboure is not, and nor is Saint Bernadette, neither of them are Carmelites, but truly divine images of the radiation of an inner beauty that transcends even their death is profound.
It is profound. And Father Philippe, Ted, as has been our custom for decades, he reads from the table at breakfast, and so we're reading through Father Philippe's book, The Way of Trust and Love. And this profound trust in the goodness of God the Father, within the backdrop of Jansenism, there were still heavy doses of a very stern, very hell and brimstone and unworthiness in that French culture that she is. And then, of course, we contrapose that to Nietzsche and the late 1800s, where Europe is just all into atheism and rejection of anything spiritual, and it's all material all the time, right? Darwinism is full bore. And she presents another view of the world, or of thinking, or of approach. And she gets that in part from her relationship with her own father. And I find that very interesting. Louis and Zelda, her parents were canonized not too long ago. And Louis,
I think their feast day was actually just last week. Well, now it'll be in September, but just.
That's correct. So her father will have mental problems. So he's a nice patron for those suffering with mental situations. But he loved the youngest daughter so much. So it was easy for Therese to approach God as a loving father from her own home life. Okay. And so Father Philippe was going to point out, unfortunately, that's not the case as often as we would like it to be at this time. Fatherhood has been so maligned for so long in so many ways. It shouldn't surprise anybody that people have problems identifying a good father in God and getting it all mixed up, right? And Therese gives us a way of sorting some of that.
Mm-hmm. Confusion out.
Yes.
I mean, and she's very, because she was so young and because she is so childlike, not childish, but so childlike, I think that she's eminently approachable as a saint. Some of the saints seem so far beyond us and so inaccessible. But Saint Therese, her Diary of a Soul is unlike trying to read through Saint Teresa of Avila, right? The giant, right? The giantess, which she's a doctor in her own right. I mean, so we will take nothing away from Saint Teresa of Avila. But Saint Therese is approachable to, I liken it to Saint Jacques, I mean, to I'm preceding him, Saint Jacques Philippe. No, he, may God one day make it so. But eminently accessible, right?
Sure.
Words of deep spirituality put into a childlike dialogue so that it's easy to approach her. It's easy to come to her. She delights in small things. You know, that is her way. Is to delight in small things. And out of all of the saints in the modern world that the church has presented to us, Saint Therese has a heroism that is accessible, right? I mean, Saint Therese, especially if we're going to talk about the Thereses, right? Saint Therese of Avila was an intellectual giant, right? I mean, she founded essentially. I mean, she's not necessarily the founders, but I mean, well, she is the founders of her order. And then you have Saint Therese of Calcutta, right? Who began in that tradition and then moved away from it. But not many of us are going to be able to love with the intense physicality that Saint Therese, that Therese of Calcutta loved, right? Even though we admire her. But Saint Therese is eminently approachable. We can do what Saint Therese did. And she wants to send down a shower of roses. She longs to be loved.
She does. And that's the contra to Lucifer. Right? Lucifer was pride. Therese of Lisieux is humility and accepting her smallness, not wallowing in it.
Yeah.
And Father Philippe was going to say, yes, that is the dividing line. Accepting our poverty without then giving license to it, you know?
Right. Yes, that's exactly right.
That's yeah. right. That's
yeah, right. I mean, she just, she won people. Easiest of children, and she tells you that herself in her own Diary of a Soul, right? That she was not, you know, as easy and amiable as might have been hoped for, shall we say, but you know, she, that tenacity that our Lord was always going to recognize as an essential component to her vocation in the Carmel, because it's not an easy life in the Carmel, was lived out in a home that formed. That bent the willow but didn't break the branch.
That's exactly right. All right, my friends, we're going to pick up with the other great Therese of Avila in the next episode. Till the next time, Fides et Ratio.